This story is called Details. The faculty lounge was almost empty. Howard Snow was sitting in one of the easy chairs next to Marcy Chez. They were drinking coffee, talking softly, and trying to avoid touching each other. Snow liked the nervous energy that Marcy had trouble controlling when she was around him. He liked the plump ripeness that women no longer seemed to cultivate and that she possessed. He liked it when she saw him looking at her breasts and squeezed them together between her arms. He no longer wondered if his wife would find out about them. Marcy had left her husband last spring. Snow's children were grown. If push came to shove, it would be an easy transition. Newton Roxbury stared at the notes that he'd taken from the phone conversation with a grimace. The English department chairman didn't like complaints about his teachers. He was particularly unappreciative of complaints that caught him off guard. The parent who called about Howard Snow had seemed realistic, and that was even more troubling. She claimed that her son had received no corrected tests, quizzes, or papers from the first marking period, and didn't understand why he'd been given a D. In his 2 months on the job, Dr. Roxbury had few occasions for dealing with Snow. The veteran teacher seemed to avoid him. Roxbury had noted that Snow had missed turning in his lesson plans on 2 occasions and had been late with them several other times. But that was no big deal. He decided to leave a note in Snow's mailbox. Roxbury waited the next day for Snow to walk into his office during the teacher's prep, but it didn't happen. With about 15 minutes left in the period, he went to the faculty lounge to get coffee. Marcy and Howard jerked their heads towards the open door. Marcy ran her hands along the top of her dress and picked up her coffee. Newton Roxbury tried to appear casual. "Good afternoon, folks. How are we today?" "Tired," said Marcy. "The students have figured out that they're back in school and that they're going to get grades." "Yeah, life is tough," said Howard Snow. "Isn't it always that way?" said Roxbury. He moved over to Mr. Coffee and poured out a cup. "Howard, did you get my message?" "Something about a student?" "Yes. We need to have this quick conversation so I can return a parent's call." "Do you want to just give the name to me and let me take care of it?" "Probably, but let's talk first." "I'll come by in a few minutes if you're going to be free." "That'll be fine," said Roxbury. Roxbury left the room after he fixed his coffee. He wondered when Snow intended to come down to his office, but decided he could call back the parent at any point in the afternoon. He couldn't help wondering why Snow hadn't come to his office as soon as he got the message, but dismissed the thought. The rest of the day passed without Snow going to the office. Roxbury went down to the main office about 20 minutes after dismissal and found that Snow had left for the day. He would have to postpone his return call to the parent until the next morning. He wrote himself a follow-up note before he left for the school. By the next afternoon, Roxbury was annoyed. He took his coffee cup and headed purposefully to the faculty lounge. Marcy and Howard were in their chairs, and their heads again jerked up when he entered. Newton went over to the Mr. Coffee without saying anything. Peripherally, he saw the two of them exchange a tense look. He filled his cup quietly and started for the door. He stopped as if struck by an afterthought. "Howard, I do need to speak with you about that student matter." Snow looked up from his coffee and grimaced. "You know, I thought about that this morning, and then I just got tied up doing whatever. I'll stop by in the morning." "I do need to return the call this afternoon," said Newton Roxbury. He was trying to sound casual and official at the same time. When do you want to talk? Well, I'd like to take care of it now. Do you want to talk about it here? Said Snow. There were clear traces of annoyance in his tone. I'd like to have my notes in front of me. They're all at my desk. Do you want to go and get them and come back, or you want me to stop down there? Why don't you come to my office as soon as I've finished my coffee? About 5 minutes before the end of the period bell, Howard Snow walked into Dr. Roxbury's office. He was dressed in a polo shirt, outrigger shoes, and casual cotton jeans. What's the problem? He said gruffly. I got a call from Mrs. Van Tech. She's concerned about the D her son got on his report card. Oh, I'll call her, said Snow. It seems that he told her he didn't have any tests, papers, or quizzes in the first marking period. He said that? That he doesn't understand his grade because he hasn't had any testing experiences or essays. Did she also mention the kind of mouth that her son has? No. Did she say anything about the lack of homework that he does? Parents never talk about these things when they call to find out about a grade. Perhaps we should have her in for a parent conference. I don't see why we have to do anything like that yet. Why don't they just call her and straighten things out? That would be fine, said Roxbury. He stroked his beard thoughtfully. I do need to return her call this afternoon, as I said I would. What can you tell me about Dave's grades? He got a D. The bell signaling the end of the period ran. What were his test grades? I don't have them with me, said Snow. Could you bring them down before you leave for the day? I think I have those papers at home. Well, just give me the marks from the grade book. I haven't entered the mold yet. I'll bring the papers by in the morning. That would be fine if it was yesterday, but I do need to call her. Just tell her that you spoke with me, and then I'll be in touch with her. Listen, I've got to get to class. Who knows what they'll be doing if I'm not in the room when the bell rings. Bring me what you've got before you leave for the day. Whatever you want, said Snow. He sighed and left the room. He did not come back at the end of the school day. Roxbury was furious. This was the second time. He decided to call Mrs. Van Tech and do what he thought was necessary so he didn't look like a fool. Good afternoon. This is Dr. Newton Roxbury from the high school. Hello, Dr. Roxbury. I said I'd get back to you by this afternoon. I've spoken to Mr. Snow, and he tells me that he'll be happy to get in touch with you to discuss Dave's grades. Did he tell you what the grades were? Not exactly. He did say he was having trouble with Dave's behavior in class, however. What kind of trouble? He said that Dave was inconsistent about turning in his homework, and that he tended to mouth off in class a little. I spoke with my son further last night. He tells me they don't do any work in Mr. Snow's class. He said that he doesn't get any real homework because all Mr. Snow does is tell war stories. War stories? About his experiences in Vietnam. Sometimes teachers do share a bit of personal experience with the students in order to bring the literature home to them. I'm aware of that, Dr. Roxbury. My husband is a teacher. I was hoping to get this settled before he had to get involved. Why is that? Well, I suppose I should have told you this at the onset, but we've had previous experiences with Mr. Snow, and I can't say that they've been good. I think that what I'd really like is to have my son out of that class. Perhaps the best thing for me to do would be to talk with Dave. I'm sure that you'll do what you think is best. I should expect that you'll hear from Mr. Snow this evening, or tomorrow morning, at the latest. In the meantime, I'm going to speak with your son now. I'll call you back tomorrow afternoon, if that's okay. Dave Van Teck was well over 6 feet tall and all legs. He stood in the doorway of the English department office, nervously. I got called down from the main office, and they said that Dr. Roxbury wants to see me. You're Dave Van Teck? The boy nodded. I want to talk to you about your English class. It seems that you're having a bit of trouble with Mr. Snow. No real trouble. I just don't understand how he grades. We never get anything back. Do you turn your work in? Yeah. The class had a test a month ago, and we didn't get it back. We turned in a paper at the end of the first week of school, and we never got it back. The only things it gives us back are homework assignments, and they're not graded. They just have check marks on them. What do you mean, check marks? I don't know. Doesn't Mr. Snow explain them to you when you go over them? We don't go over them. What do you mean? He just assigns them and collects them. What about quizzes? We had one, I think. Did you get a grade on that? He said that he threw them out because they were so bad. Did you and Mr. Snow have difficulties in class? We didn't until I asked him when we were going to start doing English. Then he told me that I had a wise mouth, and I'll do a lot better if I kept it shut. The boy paused. He was uncomfortable with the situation. See, this is my junior year, and everybody says that it's the most important one that colleges look at. I think that he gave me a D because of what I said. Have you been doing your homework? I was, but then I stopped. Doesn't count for anything. What percentage of your grade does Mr. Snow count for homework? He doesn't tell us. He just says that we're all getting what we deserve. Look, can I just get out of this class? Once he finds out that I talk to you, he's going to really screw me. Why do you think that? He screws everybody that gives him a hard time. All the kids know that. Before he went home that afternoon, Roxbury decided to run the story by the high school principal. There were several aspects of the situation that quietly gave Adele Becker cause for concern. As Roxbury was talking, she jotted down a note to herself to review Mr. Snow's last 3 years' worth of evaluations before she left for the day. When Roxbury got to the part of the story where Dave Van Teck said that Mr. Snow was infamous as somebody who screwed all the kids that gave him a hard time, she ran her hands through her blonde hair, straightened a pin on her lapel jacket, and scrutinized Roxbury. She wondered why she needed to hear all of this, and why he hadn't been more forceful in the way he had dealt from the incident from the start. It was true that this was his first year on the job, but it wasn't as if he hadn't had an experience as an administrator. And the truth of the matter was that it was also her first year as the high school's principal. When she'd heard enough, she began to try to abbreviate the story by saying, "Uh-huh," at the end of each of his phrasings. Roxbury noticed the technique, but decided he was going to make sure that his boss was completely informed of this matter. He wasn't going to be second-guessed at a later date for not having kept her abreast of things. Roxbury had noticed in his brief time with Adele Becker that her patience quickly evaporated after she had a sense of what it was that she was hearing. He also made a mental note of the hot and cold mood swings that she seemed to have. It was about 6:30 that evening when Becker came across her note to herself on Snow. She went to the file cabinet and pulled out his folder. Over the next hour, her mouth fell open several times. Snow had been employed by the district for 10 years. She had intended to look at the last 3 years' worth of final evaluations and wound up reading them all. The pattern was repeated again and again. Complaint after complaint that papers were not returned in a timely manner. Complaints that he did not teach the material in the curriculum. Complaints that he used grades in a retaliatory manner. But what shocked her most was the documentation of his behavior had been noted since his first year of employment. Nothing had ever been done. There were no letters of reprimand. There were no unsatisfactories listed on his final evaluation check sheets. But instance after instance had been alluded to in the narratives written by previous administrators. It was after 7:30. Adele Becker had been in her office for 13 hours and wanted to go home. But her curiosity about this Snow character was keeping her there. She needed a clue as to why they had given him tenure. She knew it would be there, but she wasn't sure what it was that she was searching for. It popped up about 15 minutes later when she decided to check his attendance and use of sick days. In his 10 years on the district, he had been absent more than 250 times. That was strange enough, but the irregularity came when she saw that he still had accumulated 64 unused 6 days. The numbers didn't come close to matching. It was then that she found the envelope of letters requesting military leave on a yearly basis. She saw the superintendent's approval along with the supportive notes expressing personal gratitude for Mr. Snow's dedication to the service of his country. She decided to pack away the problem for the evening and head home. The next afternoon, Newton Roxbury approached Howard Snow in the hall before the beginning of the last period of the day. "I was wondering if you got a chance to straighten things out with Mrs. Van Tech." "No, I haven't had a chance to call her yet. I was intending to take care of it in the morning." "Tomorrow?" Snow's forehead shifted back, and the curly head of hair seemed to elevate. "Is there a problem with that?" "I was hoping that you would have called her last night, or at least by this morning." "I have to leave the building right after school today. I'm refereeing a soccer match." "Suppose I come down to your class for the last 15 minutes, and you use the time to go to the office and give her a call." "Whatever you want," said Snow with exasperation. Roxbury decided to wait until after he'd taken care of this part of things before he went to see Adele Becker again. But his phone was ringing when he got back to the office. "Mrs. Becker wants to know if you can come down to her office," said the secretary. "Right now?" "Yes, I think so." "Could you put me through to her?" "Hi, Adele. I was hoping to postpone our getting together until after school." "Did Snow call that parent yet?" "No. As a matter of fact, I'm covering his class in a few minutes so that he can make the call." "That figures. Why didn't he call last night or this morning?" "I asked him, but he didn't really say." "Ask him again, and give me a call when you're done with him. I think I'd like you to set up an appointment for a parent conference with the kid, the parent, the guidance counselor, Snow, and yourself." When Roxbury relayed that information to Snow, the teacher was very annoyed. "Why does she want me to do that?" "She didn't say." "Did the mother call her?" "I don't know," said Roxbury. "Well, if there's going to be a conference, there really isn't any reason for me to call her, is there?" I think it would be wise to make the call. Why don't you go ahead and call her? I can say whatever I have to say at the meeting. I don't want to have to repeat the same things over and over. Now it was Roxbury's turn to look annoyed. I thought that you said that you were going to take care of it, either last night or today. Details, said Snow. Besides, it seems that the principal already took care of it. Did you tell her about the mother's call? It was appropriate that I should. Dr. Roxbury set the meeting up for the following morning. The mother said that she thought her husband would want to attend. Roxbury said that would be fine. Then he called the guidance counselor. The meeting was set for 7:30 in the morning. He informed Snow, who just shook his head and said that he supposed that it was necessary, although he didn't see why. Finally, Roxbury went back to see Adele Becker. I've set up a meeting with the Van Techs for tomorrow morning. Did Snow contact the mother? Asked Adele. No. He said that he didn't want to repeat himself and that he'd speak with her in the morning. That son of a bitch. Adele Becker took off her glasses and began to pace in front of her desk. I did some reading last night. I think you'll find it very interesting. The bottom line here is that this isn't a new problem, and it might only be the tip of a real iceberg. She handed him Snow's file. I'd like you to read this before tomorrow morning's meeting. Derek Thomas arrived about 7:30 in the morning. He made a mental count of the number of people expected at the meeting and started bringing in extra chairs. Space was going to be very tight. In fact, they were going to be right on top of each other. Thomas didn't like confrontational meetings, and he was less than pleased that he had been brought into this situation. He would include those sentiments in his memo that he was required to send the guidance director after the meeting. Roxbury was the next to arrive. He was wearing his traditional Brooks Brothers suit, carrying his mug of coffee and a legal pad. He went into the counselor's office and began to spread out his things. Can you give me a little background about this situation? Said Derek Thomas. He was purposely trying to sound friendly and to hide the edge that he knew was in his voice. The student and the parents have some concerns about how Howard Snow arrived at his English grade for the student's first marking period. What kind of concerns? The student claims that he did not receive any work back from the teacher. Nothing unusual about that, is there? I don't know what you mean, bristled Roxbury. At that point, the Van Techs arrived. The three of them were together. The young man coming in, complete with his book bag. They exchanged good mornings and maneuvered in the close quarters. Mr. Van Tech opened his attaché case and took out a pad. The guidance counselors offered the parents some coffee, which they refused. Roxbury made a mental note not to drink any more coffee in front of them. By 7:30, they were staring at each other a little uneasily. Snow had been due to arrive in the building 20 minutes early. There was no sign of him. Was Mr. Snow informed about this meeting? Said Mr. Van Tech. I told him about it yesterday afternoon, said Roxbury. The bell rang for the start of first period, and Snow still wasn't there. A moment or two later, he appeared carrying a mug of coffee. Sorry about being late, folks, he said, without looking at the parents, and moved into the room. Sort of tight in here, isn't it? Once we're all seated, it'll be better, said the counselor. Mr. Snow, said Mr. Van Tech, making obvious note of the time by looking at his wristwatch and jotting something down. My son's report card tells me he's not doing acceptable work in English. I'd like to know what the problem is. Well, to begin with, said Snow, he doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut. Roxbury and Thomas grimaced. It was hardly the tone that they wanted to set. What exactly is he supposed to keep his mouth shut about? Said Mr. Van Tech. Well, it would be nice if he showed me some respect in class. If he chooses not to learn, I don't think that it's appropriate that he keep his classmates from learning. Dave Van Tech put his head down and shook it back and forth. He knew that these kinds of meetings never worked out well for students. But the problem was that this time he knew he was right. Why don't you think he wants to learn, Mr. Snow? Said Van Tech. His wife's face shared the horror expression that everybody in the room was beginning to have. Howard Snow laughed. Well, I suppose I can't prove that he doesn't want to learn, but his performance surely indicates that to me. What performance? Said Van Tech deliberately. Well, for one thing, his homework assignments are really turned in. The boy's head raised in a look of disbelief. Van Tech made notes on his pad. How many assignments has he missed? I don't know exactly, said Snow. I left my book upstairs. But it seems that the real question is, how many has he turned in on time and complete?
Would you be able to tell me that? Said Van Tech.
Not many. I can tell you that for sure, said Snow, with another sarcastic laugh.
What about tests and quizzes?
What about them? How's he done?
Poorly, said Snow.
Did you bring those grades with you?
I thought that we were here to discuss his behavior, said Snow, glaring at Roxbury.
Newton Roxbury returned his look.
Why don't you go upstairs and get the grades?
If these people have enough time to wait, and you can find coverage for my class...
We can wait, said Mr. Van Tech. He turned to his wife, and she nodded.
When Snow left the room, she said, What's done is done here, Mr. Roxbury. My main concern is Dave's future, and it seems to me that changing classes would be the easiest solution to the problem.
Dave, are you sure you didn't get any grades back from Mr. Snow? Said Roxbury.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Then there are some issues here that we need to get settled, said Roxbury.
Forgive me if this sounds selfish, says Van Tech, but if Dave is going to transfer out of the class, I'm not sure that we have much more to discuss.
Basically, you're right, said Derek Thomas. The only other thing would be Dave's first marking period grade.
Dave, said Van Tech, did you stop doing homework in his class?
He didn't go over it or use it for anything, Dad.
That's not what I asked you.
Yeah, said Dave. I stopped doing homework in his class.
Do you understand why that was a poor decision?
Not really, except that any excuse that he pulls out of his butt will be enough to satisfy everybody.
I wish I had a better answer for you about that, Dave.
Right.
You don't need to get obnoxious, said Mr. Van Tech.
Let's see how difficult it will be to change his class, said Mr. Thomas.
By the time Snow came back with a fresh mug of coffee and his grade book, Mr. and Mrs. Van Tech were on their way to the car. Dave Van Tech, Derek Thomas, and Roxbury were in the office. Thomas was putting the necessary entries into the computer.
What happened? Said an indignant Snow.
Dave is going to be transferring to another English class, said Thomas.
Snow looked at Roxbury, who was writing a list of things down.
Do you need me for anything else?
Let's talk upstairs, said Roxbury.
I just came from there, said Snow.
Dave, said Roxbury, I'll get back to you about your grades myself.
Let's just forget it, said Dave Van Tech.
Let's make sure that you don't forget to turn in your books, said Snow.
They walked upstairs in silence. When they got into the English office, Roxbury said, Can I see the grades, please?
Snow handed Roxbury a torn half-sheet of notebook paper. An F and C were the only two letters on the page.
What do these represent?
His first two marking period tests.
When were they given?
Roxbury held the paper out away from him and kept staring at it while Snow went to his book.
The first one was given on September 28th, and the second one,
The second quiz was given a week later on October 4th.
Are these all the grades for the first marking period?
No, there was homework and class participation.
And what did he get in those?
He got a D in both.
And what percentage of grade is homework?
Oh, I'd say 25%.
And class participation?
Another 25%.
How was the grade figured?
Tests and quizzes,
of which you provided one of each.
Yeah, that's right.
And when were they returned?
I don't keep track of that, said the frustrated Snow.
Let me put it this way. Were they returned?
I'm sure the quiz was.
What about the test?
I think so.
You're not sure?
I'm pretty sure to go out on a limb and say that it was.
You probably shouldn't hold me to it, though.